Well, let's open our Bibles, and as we do, let's look at John 3:16, if you would. And we're talking about living a Spirit-led life. We've covered a number of areas with that. And I haven't seen anybody send in any questions, so I guess you all are good students then. You don't have any questions. But if you have some, you know, feel free to pass those along. We'll endeavor to answer them if we can. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, see, perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And if you'll notice, look what verse 16 it says, but have. In other words, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have. So that means you already have what? Eternal life. You have it. You're not going to get it. You have eternal life. So that means we have his life, his nature, living inside me. We have the Spirit of God now living inside me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That means I can hear him. I can be led by him. I now have the mind of Christ by his Spirit. Amen. Isn't that an exciting thing? So I can know his intentions. He's going to lead me into good things. He's going to give me his mind and his heart on every area that I need to walk through in life. He's going to show me what to do. I'm going to have his heart. And a couple of other scriptures I'll call you to mind here. It says Romans 6:23. You'll know this. The wages of sin, you don't need to turn there. The wages of sin are death. But the gift of what? Gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you have, just pointing out that you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13, you know this. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So that's not something you're going to get. You have it right now. Amen. You have his life, his nature living in you. So that right there, it's not about how you feel, is it? Because a lot of us, we get up in the morning, we don't feel saved. Some of us don't look saved, whatever that is, right? We don't feel saved. And most times we say, I feel like I'm going backwards. But you are saved and you have his life and his nature in you. So what does that mean? You have to meditate on that. You've got to speak that. You've got to get up and as you're going about your day, you say, thank God I have the life of God in me. Thank God that life is in me and enlightening my spirit so I'll know what to do today. You've got to mutter that and talk that. That's part of the process of being led by the Spirit of God. You can't just go walk through and say, I believe I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God. That's part of it, but you've got to begin to decree that he lives in me. He's developing my spirit. His eternal life, his nature is in me, and he's causing me to know. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of us, you know, as we walk through life, if you reflect, I won't ask for a show of hands, but I know you've experienced this, that all of us have experienced some promptings, some knowings, and sometimes we don't follow those because of a couple of reasons. Number one, we're just ignorant. We don't know it's Him giving us a prompt. Sometimes we're just too busy. We're rushing. I got to do this. And we kind of override it. So I've always said this, really, because the Scripture confirms it. In this new covenant, you are a new creature in Christ. That means you have His life and His nature in you. That means your spirit man is a good guide. That means that when you get these perceptions inside, that's Him. But I'm going to say this. If your flesh dominates, you let it dominate, or if you let your mind and intellect dominate, it's going to be hard. Because then you're not letting the spirit man have ascendancy, have dominance. In other words, it's not dominating over your flesh and your mind. What does it say? Trust in the Lord. What is that? That's from your heart. That's what Elder Charles was reading. Trust in the Lord with what? All thine heart, not your mind and not your flesh. But you've got to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto what? Thine own understanding, thine intellect. So if we let our flesh or our intellect dominate, then it's going to be difficult to be led by the Spirit of God. Why? Because you're always giving ascendancy to those two other things, aren't you? You're not letting the spirit man dominate. You're not saying, no, I'm not doing that. I just don't, it don't feel right. Doesn't feel right. I don't sense I should do that, even though your flesh and your mind says something else. You go, no, I'm not doing that. See, that's letting the heart dominate, isn't it? That's letting your heart override what your mind and your flesh wants to do. That's where we live every day. And we've got to, how do we say this? We shared some other messages on keeping your heart tender. See, how do we go about doing that? Letting the blood of Christ continually cleanse our heart. When we miss it somewhere, we get it fixed. So we're in constant fellowship. So we have His heart, His mind, His nature is constantly flooding our heart and our soul, our mind, and we know His purposes, don't we? Amen. Hallelujah. So, just saying that your heart, see, let's go over there for a moment. Because we've been reading this scripture. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, because we've been using that particular scripture or scriptures for foundational scriptures here. See, under this new covenant, if there was a qualifier somewhere about being led by the Spirit of God, it would have said, wouldn't it? And right here, what does it say? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received. It means you have it right now, the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, or the children of God. So He bears witness with our spirit, doesn't He? And one thing I like, there's a scripture of translation, in the same chapter, verse 8 and verse 14. This is the New Century Version. It says, the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. See, so what we'll go back to this. What are you letting lead you? See, so you're letting the flesh lead you? Are you letting your intellect lead you? Or are you letting God's Spirit lead you? That's what it says. The true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead you. The voice says, if the Spirit of God is leading you, then take comfort in knowing you are His children. So He leads us. And we need to, even folks that will say, well, I don't know if He does. I'm not sure. Why you say that? Don't say that. Say He does. He does lead me. He guides me. I understand. I hear His voice. And you need to say it, because that would not be an untruth. You're making a confession of faith, aren't you not?
Yes.
Even for somebody who's saying, well, I don't hear His voice. Why do you say that? Because now you're saying something contrary to what the Word says. You need to profess. It's no different than you having very little money and nothing to make ends meet, and you say, I can't make it. Well, really? Okay. I say my bank accounts are full. I say I have enough and supply in my household. I'm not going to say what my condition is. My destiny is not determined by my condition. My destiny is determined by God's Word. And my success is determined, what He says in Joshua 1:8, if you meditate in His Word day and night and continue therein, He said you'll make your way successful. You'll deal wisely. So I'm going to say what His Word says and promises to me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So that means I can hear His voice, I am led by His Spirit, and I know what to do in every situation. We need to say that. Why? Why can I know? Because I have the mind of Christ. Why can I know? I have eternal life. Why can I know? I have His nature. Is He ever surprised? No. So if His Spirit lives in me, I should never be surprised. I should never be taken by surprise. Now that may be something that some folks will say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to say that I'm never taken by surprise. I will always know what to do in every situation. Because if God lives in me, I can know. And I shall know. You may not know 2 seconds before, but when it comes, you'll know. He will let you know what to do in every situation. Amen. Do you believe that? I do. I believe it. Let's make this profession. I've got a profession here. Let's make it, because I believe it's a good thing to profess and to say. You know, profession is good. It's good for your spirit, good for your heart, your mind. Let me find this here a minute. Bear with me here. Say this. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That life is in me. The life of God is in me. That life is the light. It is the development of me. It is developing my spirit. It is developing my mentality. Oh. I have God in me. I have God's wisdom in me. I have God's life in me. The life of God in me dominates me. And I purpose in my heart to walk in the light of life. Hallelujah. See, and the more you profess and say who you are, that becomes alive in here. You're putting down roots down here. And what does that say? When the storms of life come, it beat against the house, and it could not fall, could it? So when we build our house on a rock and a good foundation, and we begin to put down roots, putting down roots is professing the Word of God, saying who I am in the face of contradictory feelings and circumstances. I don't care what you feel like, how it looks, you are a spirit being, and you are led by His Spirit, and you know what to do in every situation. You are not taken by surprise in life. You know what to do. And the world is looking for a people that will know how to help them, what to do. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you knew what to do in every situation? Isn't that a wonderful thing to even grasp that? I'll tell you, it excites me. You don't have to worry. What does it say in Philippians? Be careful for nothing, but in all things, do what? It says, but in everything, offer up prayer and what? Supplications. With thanksgivings. Make your requests known unto God. You could say, fret about nothing. Be anxious. Fret about no thing. See, turn over there a minute. Let's look at that just for a second. Let's take a second. Let's look at this for a moment. Just had a thought. Philippians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 6. What we were reading. But, see, this is the interesting thing about this particular three verses. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and. So, we offer up prayers and supplication with thanksgivings, but we're still fretting about it. This says here, be careful for nothing, but in everything. So we're not to be anxious. So some folks pray and they're still anxious. Isn't that true? You're still thinking about it. You're still pondering it. There's a certain amount of fretfulness. This says, be careful for nothing. Don't fret about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What else does it say? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. And here's what happens when we start to fret on things. Could that be a hindrance to hearing him? I think it could be. What you think? You know, we go to bed and you're laying in your bed all night pondering something, thinking about it, wrestling with it, and your mind's not at peace, your heart's not at peace, and so you need to just quiet yourself down and do what the Scripture says. Be careful for nothing, just put it, say, thank you, Lord, I know you're working it out. He's working it out. And let your mind be on things that are lovely and just. Think on that. And of a good report. Think on that. You see. It's interesting. We had a call this week. I'll share it in a way that doesn't indicate, but somebody called, and they called because this person was in the trauma. I guess you call it a trauma unit. What is a trauma one? Isn't that what they call it? What's the highest one they call that? Trauma one. This person was in a trauma one. They had gotten stabbed and left for dead on the street. And this person called and said, you know, please help. You know, just want you to agree that they'll live. The doctors can't stop the bleeding. They don't know what to do. And we got an agreement, and I said, well, they're going to live, but they're going to have to make some changes. I said, what happened? Well, you know, blah, blah, blah. So Pastor Greg called me, today, and said, hey, just wanted to give you up to date, you know, that this person's, you know, they're in critical condition, but they're stable. And they had gotten stabbed in the head and the neck and the ear and the buttocks. And I said, the buttocks? He said, yeah, because gang members know that if they stab you in certain areas, it starts bleeding that they can't stop. And I said, really? I didn't know that. So there's some deep veins in the buttocks area that if they stab it and they get at it, that it'll drain you of the blood, almost like an artery. I guess there may be an artery running in the buttocks, but it's so deep. If they get it, the doctors, they just can't stop it. They have a real hard time. And so he told me that all of a sudden it stopped. And the doctors didn't know why, you know, they just stopped bleeding, and there was another spot that was profusely bleeding that was internal. They couldn't get to it. It just stopped. You see, so I said, well, that's what I said. God's going to spare this person's life, but they're going to have to make some heart changes. They're going to have to get out of that element because they stabbed him, they jumped him, and they left him for dead. They did. They left him on the street. And they found him, and he was on his way out. So we thank God. We thank God for his mercy, and so we thank God. But you, in those kind of situations, you know, you're in a tough spot. You're in a turmoil, and it's you know, if you've ever found yourself in something like that, the peace of God sometimes is distant, and you can't fret. That's sometimes easy to say, but you're going to have to, if you're going to get into those, if you're in that situation, you're going to have to be anxious for nothing. That means even that. You can't be anxious. You're going to have to let your request be made known unto God, and that you're going to have to just trust him and believe. Amen? Praise God. So, how can we, it was over here, let's jump back over here. I was reading Romans 8:14, but let me read 8, 8, 16 in another version. I'm just backing over some scriptures here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 says, "The Spirit Himself," I'm reading a modern translation, "beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now, the complete Jewish Bible says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our own spirits." This is what we were talking about before. The minute we became a new creature, He bears witness with our own spirit. So we have what? We have the Spirit of God living in us. We have a what? A co-witness. What does that mean? I'm going back over this again. That means when you decide to come over here and do this, there's another witness inside that either agrees or not. He is the helper, isn't he? He's the one that's supposed to help you. So when you've got this bright idea, "I'm going this way," and he goes, "No, don't go that way." He don't. Now, what do we say? An inward witness is not a voice. Oh, I thought it was a voice. No, an inward witness is not a voice. It's a knowing. What is the scripture? It seemed right. What does it say right in the beginning of Luke? It seemed right to write this book. Or I perceive. What does Acts say? I perceive that this journey will be to much harm, didn't it? Isn't that what Paul said? He said, "Don't go, you're going to get into a lot of trouble if you take this trip." So it's a perception, it's an intuition, it's a knowing. How many have had that experience? How many have said, "This doesn't feel right"? You know, I had personally. How many do their taxes every year? Ah, so there's some that don't, huh? Ah, you didn't raise your hand. Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you do your taxes, that means... Yeah, you... Oh, personally? Okay, well, I'm just asking the question, how many do their taxes every year? How many file them? Okay, well, that's different. Okay, oh, I see what you mean. Personally, okay, so some of you don't do them personally. Okay. I got it. Okay, I understand. So, this particular person said something to me, and it went, bzzz. Now, I'm not an accountant, and I don't know, but something on the inside went, bzzz, and like a, burp. That ain't right. And lo and behold, wasn't right. You understand my point? You may not know because you're not an expert in it. You don't have to be. You got the expert living inside you who knows everything about everything. And don't second guess just because that person knows. Well, I know. No, you don't need to do that. You know how many folks will say, "That's what this person said to me." No, you don't need to do that. You don't need that. And inside, the minute that person said that, I went, and I said, "Something wrong with that answer." Follow your spirit. Follow that inward witness. Check up on it. That's what I'm talking about. Ask questions. Check up. Because the inward witness will never lead you wrong. The Spirit of God has been sent to do what? Help us. He's the helper. Sometimes... This is what we hear. I mean, we hear this as pastors. "Well, I thought because they knew more, I thought, well, this or that," or "I thought this." No, you're a spirit man. Follow that inward witness. If you get a little something, just follow it. I don't care what that person says. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be ornery. That's not what I'm talking about. But follow that inward witness. That's how you get developed in something, isn't it? And the more you follow it, the more you listen throughout the day. Now, do we make mistakes? Yes, we do. We miss things. But whenever I miss it somewhere, how did I miss that? Where did I miss the direction? Where did I miss it somewhere? You see? That's how you learn. You go, oh, yeah, I got busy over here. I was tired. I overlooked that prompt. Isn't that true? I'm thinking about now, you've heard me talk about this, where I almost died. I was 6 months from dying, and I had this internal stuff going on here in the stomach. But I reflect back now that there were nudges, I use that term, little prompts, little inward knowings. Stop drinking coffee. And I ignored them. Month after month, month after month, month after month, month after month, way before this ever had a problem. Way before. But I'm busy. I like coffee. So I kept drinking coffee. Boom! Problem. Don't look at me all holy, because God speaks to us about don't eat that food anymore. And I just got to have me this because I like the taste. It's the truth. I got to have me a piece of pie. I got to have me some whatever it is. Another whatever. And all along, he's nudging us to back off of that. Stop eating it. Or remove it from your diet, period. Or get more rest or exercise. Could be as simple as, I want you to go out and walk. Nah, I'm too busy. Okay. Guess you're going to be too busy to be on your back sometime. See, and sometimes he tells us these things months or years in advance so that we don't end up with the issues. See? And I'm absolutely convinced that if we would respond to those nudges, that, see, sometimes we say, well, nothing happened. Right. Exactly. That's the way it's supposed to be. Smooth sailing. Doesn't mean you don't have issues in life, but I mean where you're personally, you should be above and not beneath. You should be the head and not the tail. And I'm convinced of it. You can't tell me otherwise. Because I see folks get into conditions and situations, and when you start to talk, well, there it is. They ignored some prompts. They ignored some things that God had been speaking to them a lot of times for years. It doesn't have to be eating. Doesn't have to be exercise. It could be just a relationship. It could be husband and wife. It could be parents and children. You know what I mean? It could be anything. Picked up the phone and called them. Nah, I'm too busy. I ain't got time. I ain't calling them now. Bop, 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 bop. All the stuff that goes on, right? And he's trying to correct situations in our life so that we can be what? Prosperous and successful. Isn't that true? Let's go over there for a moment. Let's look at Joshua 1:8 just for a moment. See, remember, always keep that in your thinking. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. And the spirit of man is what? The candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So because my spirit is brand new, and the Spirit of God lives in me, then here's what we have here. Look at Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. That means in everything. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous. And this is what I like in the Amplified. It says, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success. You'll deal wisely. Does that mean in some things? No, it means every area of our life will be successful. How do you become successful? You deal wisely. See, if you deal wisely, then you're going to be a success. So in order to deal wisely, we're going to have to meditate in the Word day and night. That means we're going to have to take time to meditate in it. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he what? Meditate. How long? Day and night. This is the CEB. It's the Complete English. It says, Psalm 1 and verse 2. It says, instead of doing those things, these persons love the Lord's instruction and they recite God's instructions day and night. They recite them. Meditate, recite. This is the Message Bible. I like this. Instead, you thrill to God's word. You chew on Scripture day and night. You chew on it. You meditate on it. You mutter it. That's what we did before. You get down, you lay down, or you're quiet, you say, the life of God is in me. His light is in me. He's developing, his life is developing my mentality. His life is developing my spirit. His life leads me. His spirit leads me. I hear his voice. And a lot of times we're so busy, we're just so flat out tired because we've been running all day long. We just crash and we're so tired, we just crash and go and just wake up in the morning and go at it again. But we've got to make time to do that, or we're not going to have success. We're not going to deal wisely. I know how many parents are here. So you have children, either grown or is still in your household. If they're in your household, they're going to look for your direction. They're going to look for your guidance, and you're going to have to give some instruction. And how much better and comforting and restful is it to know that the instruction that you gave is wise instruction? Because if it is, you're going to deal successfully, and you're not going to be doing it from the flesh, and you're not going to be doing it from your own thinking or reason, right? It's going to be from the Spirit of God, directed by the Spirit of God. But somewhere in your day, in your activity, you're going to have to take the time to get quiet. And I know that sometimes is a tall task for folks. But you're going to have to do it, because this is it right here, isn't it? This says if you don't do this, you won't deal wisely in the affairs of life and you will not be successful. So for me, I'm talking to myself too here now. In order to deal wisely in everything that you set your hands to, in order for you to do that, you're going to have to get quiet and meditate the Word of God. You're going to have to speak it. You're going to have to declare it and be quiet. Even if it's for 10, 15, 20 minutes, start there. Start for 10 minutes. Get quiet. God, not, you know, get quiet. Get your mind settled down. And be quiet. Sometimes, I'll tell you what I used to do. I had the opportunity to do it when I was working for the utility company. This was before they had had tenants all on all the floors at the high-rise building in Pearl River. They call that Blue Hill. My office was on the 19th floor, and it was at the top. Orange and Rockland had the 21st, the 20th, and the 19th. So I was on the 19th floor. And a friend of mine, we would go down to whatever floor. They were all empty. Just about every floor was empty. And we'd take our lunchtime and go down there and pray in the Holy Ghost. We did it for years. Just walk the floors and pray in the Holy Ghost. You had 42,000 square feet on each floor. And man, it was wide open. You're shouting. And I did that for year after year. We go down there day after day, take our lunchtime, go down there and pray in the Holy Ghost. And that's what you have to do. You got to find a place, find some time to be quiet. Pray in the Holy Ghost, quiet your mind down, and hear Him. Begin to speak the word of God. And because we all want to be successful, you know, we all want to be Olympic champions, but sometimes we've got to put in what's necessary to be that. Isn't that true? So I'm convinced we're going to get there. We're going to be those deal wisely successful in every area of our life Christians. Because God makes no mistake. He's assembled a congregation here that's looking for that. And God is going to take everybody who starts and comes up, even if it's just a little bit. You come up a little bit more, a little bit more. People are going to say, how'd you do that? How'd you know? That's usually how that. How did you know to do that? You can sit down and share. You don't have to preach to them. You can just begin to share how you began to deal wisely in the affairs of life. How you knew how to make that choice versus that choice. I remember when 2008, you know, we the ministry had just sold the apartments in Trump Tower that the pastors were living in. And we sold that, and that money came into the ministry. $4 million. And so we said, well, let's just sit with the investment people asking some questions. You know, you do natural things. Where do we put the money and so forth and so on? Well, they had some ideas, and we said, well, you know, No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to put the money at risk by putting it in these other things that could be there today and gone tomorrow. What happens? It's not FDIC insured. It's not protected. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't do those things if God leads you to. Because He could lead you to buy some real estate, and that could be a boom. You understand what I'm saying? So you need to be led. But we said, nah, we're not going to do that. This is what we want to do. We're going to just invest in CDs, but we can get more money for you. Now, is it insured? No. So we did this. We didn't feel comfortable. Let's just put the money there in CDs. Well, it was just a few months after that, the whole market crashed. And everybody lost their shirts. And they, you know what they said to us? Man, you sure stepped in it. That's what the term was. Boy, you sure stepped in it. I said, no. God led us to do that way. You see? So, that's what we're talking about. That you just It isn't always about how God is speaking. Yes, He does speak, but the primary way is the inward witness, an inward knowing. Every one of us know. I used to say this, I said this a couple of messages ago. Before you were born again, you had a conscience, you had a spirit. You knew when you did right and wrong. You knew it. And you didn't know chapter and verse. You knew when you did wrong. And I'm telling you, more so now that you have a new spirit, a brand new spirit, regenerated, with the Spirit of God living in you, you sure do know His inward witness. You know, this just feels right to go this way. You know, of course, you know we're doing these sound system upgrades. They're pretty much finished. But 2 years ago, out at Rhema, they were having a technical conference, and we all went. And I met this guy out there that was doing one of the seminars there. And I just said, ooh, something about this guy. My spirit just, I just had a real, you know what they say, a warm fuzzy. It just felt, I said, hmm. And I watched for 2 years. Went once, interacted with their folks, you know, went to their classes. And the next year, same thing. And he had gone through a tough time. His wife had passed from cancer, young guy, and so he was walking through that. And so we got to chat, same thing, just a nice, warm feeling. But there was one guy on his staff, he was his partner. I didn't know these people. When I met him, I had a check. And I thought, I just had a check, just a check. And I watched it. So this year, in January, that partner left and took about 10 or 15 of his people. And I said, really? Okay. So I had been holding off moving forward, and I said, let's just hold off here now. And when all of this happened, I said, see, there's things that you don't know that God knows. And you just need to, as I keep saying, follow that inward witness. You will never go wrong. You're a new creature in Christ. You have His Spirit in you. In your spirit, He is a advocate. He is a co-witness. I don't care who it is. It could be a lawyer, your teacher, your doctor. Your doctor could say, no, you have to do this. You're not an expert. But if your spirit's not comfortable, don't do it. I remember when I went through that stomach business, I went to this professional doctor, and I'm looking for help. And he started saying some things, and my spirit just went. And I said, not coming back here. And I never went back. Never, ever went back. I said, wrong. I don't care what kind of situation you're in. If the Holy Ghost tells you to go, you better get going. And He'll lead you in the right direction. And you'll know, right? You will deal wisely in the affairs of life. And you'll have good success. Isn't it true? I believe it. Telling you the truth here now. But as we said, if you let your flesh dominate or your intellect dominate, then you can overrule your spirit. You can overrule that leading. See? Because you're always to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hallelujah. The more I meditate on this, the more I look when we have to make a choice. You don't have to give people an answer right on the spot. You can say, you know what, I need to check with somebody. I'll get back to you. And if you have to give an answer right away, He will give you the answer. And you'll know what to do. If it's that critical, you'll know what to do. He'll let you know. But if you don't have to, you don't need to give an answer right away. You just hold up and wait on the Lord. And I'll tell you, most times when we become more inside, God inside minded, what's happening with me is that the minute somebody starts to talk about a subject and say, you know, I'm just thinking about this, this or that, there's just, even the conversation, I begin to just know from the conversation, it's either right or wrong. How about you? I like that. I'm not saying that happens all the time, but it's happening more often. I'll say it that way. That you just have an inward knowing that that's not right. Or it is right. Yeah, keep doing it. I think I may say, I don't tell people they shouldn't, but I'll just tell them, you need to go back and think about that a little bit. Or have you thought about this? You know what I mean? Amen. We're talking some practical things here. This is where people live. And the way you're going to develop that is meditating in the Word of God. You're going to have to practice the Word of God. That means being a doer of the Word. You're going to have to instantly obey His voice. And these are the kind of things that as we do, we meditate, we practice, we do the Word of God, and then as we get the prompts, you instantly obey. Because that means you're going to start yielding to Him, more familiar, you're going to know it. Instantly, you'll know what to do. You're going to know what to do. Amen. Well, I think that's enough. We're going back through. That's what I'm saying. We're going back through, walking through the Scriptures, talking about it from maybe a different way than we did before. And the more you walk through life, before you make a choice, when you have to, Brother Hagin talks about it like this when he was alive. I've got this choice and this choice. I have to make a choice. When I think about this choice, what do I feel down here? And when I think about this choice, the more I think about this choice, how do I feel about it? If you're a new creature in Christ, there should be a witness. There should be, this feels right. I'm not talking about your flesh and a big plate of food. I'm talking about you having a choice to make and you looking on the inside. There's an inward witness, an inward knowing. It just feels right to go this way. Start learning to do that. Now, if you miss it, go back and you know, I always say this. You didn't stop walking because you bumped your toe. You got up and dusted off and kept walking. And it's the same thing. If you miss it, don't sit down and cry and say, oh, I don't hear God. No, get up and keep moving. Right? That's how we learn. But you need to start thinking on the inside. Look on the inside when you have to make choices. I've got to go here. I'm starting to do it more often than not now. If I've got to get somewhere, I told you about this recently. I almost got DEAD did because I fell asleep coming home from Pennsylvania, and I said, "Now, how did I miss that?" I shouldn't even be in this situation. How'd I do that? Where'd I miss it? And running out the door, there was this, I don't really want to go today. I got to go. I got to go. See? But there was that rushing, you're tired, but I'll push through. What was going on down here? What did you sense down here? And I overrode it with, I got to go. And I shouldn't have. And he was nudging, right? But I'm in a rush. Gotta go. See? You can get yourself in a problem that way. See? Isn't it true? That's what we're talking about. That's where we live. You know, you get busy and we're running. And sometimes, what does that mean? The flesh and the mind are dominating. And we haven't been meditating. We haven't been hearing down here. We got to go. We got to... But, and he's saying, no. Don't do that. But it's not dominant. What's dominant? The flesh, the mind, right? We don't purposely do that. But in our daily activities, it gets to that place, doesn't it? Praise God. I'm going to finish. I'm going to unhook here. Amen. Hello? Oh, okay.
Well, they need, okay.
Yeah, they'll get that.
I just want to say that I learned a long time ago that before I make any choices, that's why I love my broadcast, The Choice Is Yours. When God gave me that broadcast, first of all, I had never done call-in talk show before. Everything had been Pastor Clinton and I together doing something. And I didn't really want to do it because I knew it was going to cause a division or controversy where we were concerned. But anyway, I also knew that it was the Lord telling me to do it. And so I said, okay, Lord, then you have to show me, you have to tell me how you want me to go about presenting this in such a way that it doesn't create a problem in my home and my marriage. And sitting in my office one Friday evening, it seems like Friday evening is a favorite time of God to get messages through to me. On Friday evening, Bob Straighten, who was our engineer. No, he was, what was he? He was our accountant.
He was the representative.
He was the accountant for the organization.
He was the account representative,
yes,
for Walter Benedict.
Right. That
right.
was handling
right.
our radio broadcast time. And Bob called me up just before service time here on Friday night. And he said, Sarah, Sunday is D-Day, and we have to, we don't have a title for the broadcast yet. And I said, Bob, I can't give you what I don't have. So I says, as soon as I hear from God, you'll hear from me. And he said, we're talking about 2 days. I said, Bob, that's like saying 2,000 years as far as I'm concerned, because I'm still not going to tell you something because it might sound good, or it could trigger off, excitement in people. Oh, I said, most of us have been to the supermarket where they have these little magazines with houses and all in there that are for rent or for mm-hmm. sale or something.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to have one on my desk that day. I don't know why, because I was very comfortable in where I was. I wasn't looking for a house. And when I hung up from talking to him for a couple of minutes, Clinton and somebody else were sitting in my office at the same time. This magazine opened to a page that and it had a house that my eyes were drawn to. That was the most unlikely house I would have considered buying. And the price was good, but still it was the house that I would have wanted to even consider. I wasn't even going to have to pray about that one. Anyway, the caption underneath the house was, "The choice is yours." And it so went off, it rang in my spirit so beautifully that I was on the phone. In fact, I asked Minister Dolores, "Would you get Bob Straighten back on the phone for me?" And I called him back. I said, "Bob, we have a title for the broadcast." He said, "Sarah, you didn't have it 5 minutes ago." And I said, "God doesn't take a long time to work." I said, and I explained to him what had happened. And I said, "But it was something about when those words went off, the choice is yours." I said, "That just went off in my spirit. It caught an explosion." And it's 21 years and a month now since we've been doing this broadcast. And so we went on the air 21 years ago, knowing full well that that was the name of the broadcast. But that wasn't all that I wanted to tell you. Last night, someone called in on the broadcast. And in the course of our conversation, they read a scripture. We have to be very careful. You know, when we meditate on scripture, we need to make sure that the Spirit is speaking to us, or that we have a spiritual experience clearly hearing what the Lord is saying. And this person, because they like to cry about everything, they quoted a scripture that I don't recall having read before, but I read it. I asked them what it was last night, and we looked it up last night, and it said, it's verse 6. "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not thy book in thy book?" And the person said to me, "Well, doesn't God collect our tears in a bottle?" And I knew that may have been in the scripture, but I knew that they were not interpreting it correctly. So I said, "Well, I can't accept that." I said, "I have to go read that for myself." So they told me where it was, and we looked it up last night, and we looked it up again today. And when I read it last night, the Lord said, "Yeah, I said, I'll collect the tears in the bottle." He says, "But I never said you would get any rewards for tears in that bottle." So if the person thinks that the more they cry about things, you know, the more they're going to get blessed by me, he said, that's not what that scripture means at all. And it's true. So we have to be very cautious when we're being led by the Spirit to make sure. Oh, yeah, the scripture is Psalm 56:8. And I said, to the Lord, "Thank you for showing me." But I don't do that. I don't let people just come and give me scriptures or call and tell me passages in the Bible that they think mean something, because if my spirit doesn't bear witness with it, then I want to look it up for myself and find out what it is saying. Because I know if it's in the Word, then God will give me the truth. But he says, "I said I would put the tears in my bottle." He said, "But that wasn't for them to be blessed later on about how much they cried." So while you're being led by the Spirit, read the book of Proverbs. One of the greatest things you can do is to go to the bookstore and get one of those through the year daily readings that we have, that we read the Bible through, because it'll cause you to read the book of Proverbs through completely 12 times a year. And I'm telling you, if you need wisdom and understanding and tells you how important those things are, you'll better understand what it is that you're supposed to hear from God about and how you're supposed to hear him. And it's just like you saying, you know, if your spirit is bearing witness like that night that he showed me, the choice is yours. I mean, I wasn't thinking about a house. I wasn't even thinking about the broadcast. But when I saw that writing, the choice is yours, and it wasn't in the Bible, my spirit man on the inside exploded so loud and hard that I just screamed it out. I've got it. I have it. And Clinton said, you have what? I said, the title for the broadcast. And he said, how'd you get that? I said, the Holy Spirit just confirmed something, something you read, something you saw, something that he said to you. But you get a comfortable feeling. But I would say that I'd heard from the Lord that night, considering that we've been using that title for 21 years and 2 months now. But you have to be very cautious that you don't just, because you want to do something. Okay? My confidence was so in the Lord that if I had to go on the broadcast that night with no title before I got to say the first words, he was going to give me a title for the broadcast because I was doing something that he told me that he wanted me to do. And that's, it's very important that we don't just run headlong on into things. Make sure you get that comfortable feeling with it. Make sure you get that green light or that you're happy. It's a joyful feeling. And if you try to do something that's not comfortable for you and you don't feel good about it, don't do it, whatever. Because we've all had opportunities to say, I don't care what somebody asks me now. I will say to them, do you mind if I pray about it first? Do you mind if I talk to the Lord about it? Do you mind if I read some scripture on it or something? Because it's very important that we don't just run into things because we think it's the right thing. It's, like I said, it's not in your mind. And it's not in your flesh. It's in your heart. It's in your spirit. And if it's in your heart, God will bear witness with it. And you will know that you know that you know that what that scripture would have never affected me the way, I mean, this person wasn't ready to argue with me about it, but they were absolutely convinced because crying is one of the things that they like to do. Okay? But I knew the moment she said it that something was wrong with it as far as I was concerned. I didn't question whether or not it was in the Bible, but I was questioning whether or not what we were talking about was the way that God was interpreting that scripture. And of course, when I read it, I realized that it wasn't. In fact, he spoke to me while I was sitting there before I took the next caller and told me, he says, I never said, the more you cry, the more I'll bless you. And so I announced that on the air last night. And I'm telling it to you today so that when you are praying or you're reading the scriptures or you're wondering about something, Let the Lord make it feel good and let feel good in you. One of those feel good. What's that, Miss Cochran said? Not Cochran. What's her name?
Conyers.
Huh? Conyers.
Mrs. Conyers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right now, God. If it's a right now, God, and He wants you to do it, you'll feel so good about it. You don't care whether anybody else accepts it or not. And so I hope that adds to the things that Pastor Ed is saying to you tonight, because this is the first lesson that I learned after I really got turned on to the Word. Brother Hagin's book, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God, because I had just read that and I read John 10:10. well, 10:27, I guess it's, but my sheep hear my voice and another they will not follow. And it was just so many things that God was letting me know that I didn't ever have to make any more dumb decisions. And I had made some dumb ones in my life, but I didn't have to make any more if I would just simply confer with him first. And that's all that Pastor Ed is saying to you and me tonight. Make sure that you have a confirmation from the Lord of whatever it is that you want to do. Don't just do it because you think it's a nice thing to do. It's a popular or profitable thing to do. Make sure that you have heard from the Lord before you do anything, or he's confirmed it for you. Every choice we've made since we've been in the ministry, including this building and everything about it, even the pastors, well, you know the story about that. I mean, I was going to promote them as to ministers on the 10th of September. Okay, that year, 2006. Yeah. And I'm sitting there again on a Friday before at my desk. And just as clearly as I'm speaking to you now, the Lord, I heard down on the inside of me, don't promote them as ministers, promote them as pastors. Well, that was enough to get my attention, because there had never been a pastor for Redeeming Love Christian Center that wasn't an Utterbach. And Funstein is different, but it sure wasn't Utterbach. And so was Carr, for that matter. And but I knew it was the Lord speaking to me. And we had had pens, ballpoint pens. Some of you still have yours, made up with promoted to minister on that day. So, but that didn't matter to me, because as far as I'm concerned, we didn't have to give the pins out. But I sure didn't want to be wrong with God about not promoting them to pastor. And so I picked up my phone and I called them, asked them to come over to my office. They came into my office and they sat down, and I said, changing plans for Sunday. And they just kind of looked at me, and I said, I just heard from the Lord. I'm not supposed to promote you all to ministers. And they didn't have any reaction at all to it. I said, the Lord told me that I'm supposed to promote the two of you as pastors of Redeeming Love Christian Center. And they just, again, they just kind of looked like, okay, you know, they never thought about being pastors, either one of them, before. But I'm telling you, it's the smartest thing, other than accepting this building. It's been the smartest thing for me, because in another year, or shortly after that, the enemy attacked me with a stroke. And I don't know anybody in this world that would have been more supportive of me in this ministry at the time that I was under attack, those two. So God knew exactly who he wanted here, and he knew he wanted them to run the affairs. And they were equipped to handle it. It wasn't something, oh, there were a couple of others around here. In fact, one employee said to me, well, what do I have to call them now? I said, Pastor. Pastor. Like that at all. Well, she'd been calling Ed and Greg for 20 years. But now, no, you're going to call them the same thing I'm going to call them, because I call them Pastor. And you're going to call them that too. And everybody else around here is going to refer to them as pastors. And so they had in mind that they wanted to be elevated in this ministry. But you better let God know. You better let God tell you who your friends are supposed to be, who your associates are supposed to be. And every choice we have made around here, it's 9 years ago today that Pastor Clinton left us to go home to be with Jesus. Well, that wasn't planned, although I knew before I went down to the furniture market, interestingly enough, that week before, I knew that his time was just about up. He wasn't going to last much longer, but I knew God was the one that was in charge of this ministry, not me. This was never Clinton and Sarah Utterbach's ministry. It was God's ministry, and he entrusted us to listen to him enough to do certain things as he gave it to us. And I thought, well, I've been doing it that way for all these years. Why change now? But since that time, since those 9 years ago, that Pastor Clinton left us to go be with Jesus, we have never made a decision around here without praying about it. Every person that's been promoted, I mean, when they were laying people off that year, what was it, 2007, when the market crashed, 2008, anyway, but that December, when everybody was getting laid off on their other jobs and things like that, we hired 9 new people here and increased in size, and they got good salaries, and most of them are still with us now. I think one just recently resigned to go do something that he feels that the Lord was impressing him to do, but please confer with the Lord first, because I think the part that really frightens me, if you call it frightened, not really frightens me, but when I read the story of Joshua having overcome Jericho and then turned around and lost to a handful of people at Ai, and the scripture said, because he did not confer with the Lord, I said, no, I don't ever want that to happen to me, Lord. So I don't have a problem with telling you. I can't give you an answer right now. I won't give you an answer. I'd rather not give you an answer than to give you one off my cuff, off the top of my head. Because here was Joshua had beaten the whole, and the Israeli army had beaten the whole town of Ai, Jericho, and had the walls. And those walls, I understand, were so thick that you could ride 4 chariots side by side around them. But they did what God told them to do, and the walls came tumbling down. But yet they went up right after that before Ai, and I think it was a handful of people compared to the people in Jericho. And those people defeated Joshua and the Israeli army. And Joshua wanted to know, how come, Lord, what happened that we lost this battle with a much smaller group of people? See, it's not the size of who you're fighting with or any of that. It's, did God tell you to do it? That's very important. That's so.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, let's bow our head in prayer. Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for deposits of your word. And we thank you for growth in the spirit, growth in our spirits. And we thank you, Father, and decree that we're led by the Spirit and we hear you clearly and accurately in all the areas and affairs of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen.